Yeah, but
supreme Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage.
Guess who's back? We made it back live. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reselling Raiders, where we talk everything from eBay to whatnot. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. We have been on quite the hiatus. We took a couple weeks off. We gave you some canned shows that we had recorded, but we're back live on a Saturday night tonight. And we're happy to be back with you guys. I do want to encourage you to check out the links in the description. If you're looking, I've got a sweet bolo / sale that I'm going to give you when we do our bolos at the end. And I got it because I cross-listed it on Poshmark. It was a banger sale. So if you want to check out how to cross-list, you can check out the links in the description and use the Posh Sidekick there. We would really appreciate that. And also, we got our first download from Brazil.
Stop yourself.
Yes. We've got the Brazilians are in the house and have officially downloaded the show. Huge shout out to those guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, we're live from the favelas. Let's go, boys.
Yeah, and we have 120 followers on Apple Podcasts, too. So really appreciate you guys out there. It's really banging on the Apple Podcast, so thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Definitely going to get to the bolos. I'm sure we've had like 3 weeks of kind of build up here. I'm sure we're going to have some great ones during the bolo portion. Things to be on the lookout for. And I know a lot has happened. Rob, you just got back from the Far East. How'd that go?
Far East. I spent 2 weeks in Tokyo with my kid, my daughter-in-law, and my two little grandbabies, and what a joy! What an absolute treasure that is to be there. They live right now in the northwestern part of Tokyo, and they bought a property and are building a house just northeast of Tokyo now, in the suburbs of Tokyo. And I got to tell you, a lot of people question if I come back on these trips. Like, are you actually coming back this time? Because they know one time I'm not. And so I get a trip to see this property they bought and the construction. And as we get there and we're walking around, you know, there's other little plots in this neighborhood. And one has a sign on it. And it's all in Japanese. I don't read Japanese. So I hear out of the corner of my ear here, my son going, "That one's still for sale, Dad." I said, "What?" So yeah, it's been for sale for like 6 months. You probably get a good deal on it.
Did it cost?
The property he bought in that when he bought it was $80K for the lot.
Is it like a standard home lot, like in a neighborhood?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've heard that the property over there has kind of really gone down and has gotten a lot cheaper.
It all depends on where the property is. You know, I mean, Center City, Tokyo, you're still in the millions. The further out you go, it's kind of like here in the US. The further you are out in the country, the cheaper it is.
So what brought you back this time?
I had to come back.
How far away from the city is that, Rob?
He's probably going to be 45 minutes.
Is that a train ride or do you drive
there? Everything's a train ride.
Train ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think the train station it's a cute little town. The train station would be like a 10-minute walk from his house. If you ride a bike, it's probably 5 minutes. And then it's two trains to get to where we usually stay in Tokyo. And it's like five stops on one train and three stops on another. It's probably about a 50-minute train ride.
Dude, was the weather good or?
Yeah, it was all right. The second week we had some rain come in, but it wasn't like downpour.
Like cold rain. Or is it warm over there?
It's probably in the 70s, low 70s. Oh, yeah.
That's a good town.
Yeah, it was nice.
Like San Diego?
Oh, yeah, that'd be beautiful. Well, if you had to name like one specific thing that is a lot better about there than where you live, what is it?
There than where I live.
Yeah. It's like one thing that just jumps out to you like, dude, this is so much better.
Just the entire vibe, man. It's just, you know, I'm always there on vacation.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't feel the hustle and bustle of everyday life, but it's just, you know, it just feels like a better vibe.
Yeah. Aren't they like super nice too?
Yeah. Everybody, I mean, you know, like you're taught as from a child up to respect everybody around you.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's really clean, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the culture is better. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I'm trying to say that in a very nice way. Yeah, and surprisingly, Michael, it's so clean, and yet you will not see trash cans anywhere.
Where do you put the trash?
Mean people just like don't throw it on the ground over there?
No.
They put it in their purse?
Yeah. I mean, people were trained to take it home and throw it away. I swear to God, they used to have trash cans everywhere around the city. And then they had the sarin attack in, I want to say 80s, 70s, some terrorist attack where they used the trash cans to distribute sarin gas throughout the city. And they removed all of them.
Really?
That's why it's very difficult to find any place to throw your trash away.
Wow. Isn't that something? You know? I've always wanted to go. Like, you're not the only one of my friends that has been over there like more than once. I got a buddy, Jeff, that goes, like, he might go every year as well. He's been over there multiple times. And he always says the same thing. He's like,
so people tell you,
super clean. And yeah, Everybody's friendly. And the transportation is like just a million times better than any major city across the U.S.
He's like, so how hard is it if you like decide to go there? How hard is it to like to do it permanently? What kind
of incredibly damn near impossible, because Japan is entirely worried about their country and their culture, and they don't really give out permanent visas for you to stay. It's not a retirement place.
Is your son there on some, like, did he just get lucky, or is it, you know what I mean? Am I saying that right?
Right now?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, is he a permanent resident of, like, is he a citizen of Japan, or is he just on like some work visa type of, like,
right, you know, whatever now, you call okay. it? Well, my son's there in two different ways. He has a work visa through his company, but he's also married to a Japanese citizen.
Okay.
So he could literally stay there the rest of his life if he wanted to. He will probably become a citizen of Japan at some point.
Yeah.
Just because they don't ever foresee moving back here, moving the kids back here and everything. And I don't blame him. The kids are thriving. And just watching them around the school and everything, it's just such a good place for them to be. I wouldn't ask them to move. That'd be too selfish of me.
So, like, but if you were to go there, say you wanted to live there, how, and they were like, hey, listen, you can't become a permanent resident of our country, how long are you able to stay in chunks before you have to leave and come back or whatever?
With the American passport, you could stay 3 months at a time.
And then how long do you have to be gone for?
I don't know that question. There's no hard, fast answer to that. Because in my eyes, you could go for 90 days, leave, and just take a weekend jaunt to...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
South Korea.
Yeah.
You know, and then come back like a week later and stay for another 90 days. And then what I read about that is if you do it too many times, they can tell you no, because they'll... Yeah. What they worry about is that you're not actually just visiting or staying or anything, but you're actually working in the country and you're working illegally.
Yeah. Like, so, and with that whole thing, like, you wouldn't be able to own property, I'm guessing, right?
Or yeah, you can own property. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. Like, you can't live here, but you can own a piece.
Well, I could live there. Just 90 days at a time.
You're right. But it is not permanently. You know what I mean? But you can own a piece of our country. You know what I mean? That's like an interesting thought. So it might be a little more tricky for you to like actually move over there in a permanent status during retirement, like you want to, than just being like, hey guys, I retired on a Tuesday. The wife and I got a flight on Thursday. See ya.
Right.
Yeah. You got to get married.
You gotta tell Miss Coach, hey, listen,
we're gonna find a couple, and we're both gonna get remarried.
Oh, that's so funny!
There you go, get recognized by by Japan. They may not even recognize your marriage that you have now.
Well, the original plan for in my mind was to do the what they call a business management visa. Where if you come to the country and you start and own a company that actually, you know, is worthwhile to have within the community, you can stay there. You can live there as long as you have that going on. And then, you know, you have some checks and balances along the way, annually, every 5 years or whatever. And they said to buy in, you know, it was reasonable. You had to have 5 million yen to put up, which, at, you know, current day value is like 30K.
Oh.
But they've changed. They have a new prime minister who's a little more leaning toward the other direction of kind of very Trumpish, where they want to close off their borders even more.
They have a birth rate problem too, don't they?
They do. They have a very bad birth rate problem, which is also leading toward their employment issues. So they need workers. So that may be another avenue. But the thing they just did was they changed the requirements for the business. Now you have to have 30 million and you have to hire somebody in Japan and you have to have an actual business address.
Like a physical...
Yeah. Okay. So now you're looking at 200K you got to come over liquid with and boom, invest it and hire somebody right away. And that's like,
so yeah. Have they always been, well, you said like the new prime minister is more closed down. Have they ever had like immigrate, like not even just from America, but just like in general, like a lot of people migrate to Japan? You know what I mean? Like how they, historically, and not necessarily historically, but just say over the last 15 or 20 years, like, is that, I never really hear about, you know, don't really see a lot of videos
I wouldn't think so. I've actively noticed.
Like when you go to Japan, you just see a lot of Japanese people, right? Like it's not like you walk down the street where you live and you could see, you know, people from 60 different countries.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you see a lot of different skin skin colors and different looking nationalities when you're walking around Tokyo. But you can kind of tell everybody's a visitor.
Visitor, yeah.
You know, they got their bag on, they're doing this, you know, everybody's looking at stuff, how we get there.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can really spot the not traditional Japanese people that are working there. Like when you're in the trains in the afternoon or evenings and you see the, you know, the white guy coming down the escalator with a suit and tie on, you know, he's been working all day.
Yeah.
So now, is he there permanently? Who knows? He could just be there for however long he's got that job in that location.
It's interesting. Seems like a good place.
So how much stuff did you bring back?
All those hats behind me. And then I have this many chopsticks this time. And everything in here.
That's amazing.
And you have a Japan show, right? Do you know when that's going to be?
I'm going to try and do it this Saturday, coming up next week, next Saturday.
And all of those are obviously Japan exclusives. Like all the hats behind you are ones that you can't.
All those hats behind me, I've never seen in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
They're pretty sweet. I can't see the one that I said earlier was really cool.
Oh, that's
the right ping hat. Yeah.
Check out this Callaway. Look, here's the ping you're talking about.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Is that Carhartt style?
Yeah.
Yeah, it got stars on it. Check this thing out. This Callaway here, right? Look at my hand through it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's
this. Yeah, dude. Hey, this head can get some freaking air finally. You know what I mean?
And this thing. This Oakley.
Dude,
look at that stick pattern, and that's also see-through.
Yeah, Amanda sold that. Cool. Amanda sold an Oakley on Thursday, and her little golf and her golf hat was like $27, dude.
Wow,
it was a cool one. It had a snake going around the tee, like it was a cool one. But
Oakley makes some cool stuff, but it's so hard to find.
Yeah. It is hard to find.
And usually when I find it, it's just like basic. It just looks like, especially with polo shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
I always just find a basic plain Jane polo.
Yeah. We run across the polos like on a semi-regular basis, but the hats, we don't run across many, especially Oakley golf hats.
It is a polo though. If you find an Oakley software, it says software on the inside. Typically that's vintage. And they can go $50 to $100, even just on the basic ones. Those are really good ones. They sell really fast on eBay too.
Heck yeah. Hey, did you fly over to Japan freaking business class so you can lay down or what?
No. What I always do is I'll get the economy and then I'll buy that front row. It's like $100 upgrade.
Really?
Yeah, and then what you get is you have like 4 feet in front of you.
But how far does that seat go back?
I don't know. I don't sleep on the planes.
Even when you're flying to Japan?
I can't.
Yeah, I don't sleep either.
Oh, dog. I got my neck pillow, dude. I'm freaking mouth breathing, dude. Oh, yeah. I'm out. I'm half a bottle of freaking NyQuil and see ya. Hopefully we don't have a layover.
Drag him off to play.
Steven, what are you up to, dude? This is a thing, too, that everybody doesn't know. We haven't really texted all that much in the group chat.
Right.
So, because I'm like, you know, I'm used to talking to you guys like this every week or whatever. So, I'm like, dude, we're going to have a shit ton of stuff to talk about. What have you been up to?
I've got into a pretty good rhythm on going to the bins this past 2 weeks. It's been really good hitting the bins and going through like at 9 o'clock, and then just it takes them about 2 hours to do a full rotation through the whole thing to change out every type of bin there. And so I've been going at 9 and then making it through a whole rotation and seeing everything and then till about 11:15, and then coming back and then finishing shipping or whatever, and then cleaning and listing and all the stuff that we find in the afternoon, and then doing it over. So it's been pretty good routine. I think we're going to keep it up. So I found some pretty cool stuff. You'll see.
And we still have the bulk hats and the earbuds that are coming in on a regular basis.
I got bogged down in the earbuds because he sent me all. Did I tell you I've been selling a lot of the empty cases?
Yeah.
And he sent me a lot of just loose lefts and rights, and I got really bogged down in trying to match those pair them up, get them back together, and I still have some of those left. But I don't know. I'm still selling them. It's just I can't do that for too long of a time because it's just too repetitive and monotonous and boring as hell.
Make you go insane.
Yeah. So I've been doing that like a couple of days, and then doing the other cleaning and stuff on the other days. So I'm almost through all of them, and I've been selling just like lefts and rights and then the cases. And doing the math on that, of course, I'm making more money in the long run by selling the left, right, and then the case. It's going pretty good too. The returns are still just the biggest headache. And a lot of time it's just operator error and they don't know how to pair it up, it was actually their case that was bad and I sent them an earbud and then they're like, oh, this earbud doesn't work. And then so I sent him another one and he's like, oh, this one doesn't work either, but I realize it's my case. Can you send me a case? And then I don't know. The earbud game is different. It's a lot of customer service that I don't really want to do. I mean, if the hat fits, it fits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, that's the good thing about hats and clothing, but it's been okay. But really been enjoying going to the bins. Me and Mary love going, and it's been really fun.
And you're broadening your horizon on all the stuff that you're picking up. Like I saw the golf club.
Yeah, I you'll see some other ones, everything from graders and just everything, more electronics that I find there. I've been picking up pretty much everything, toys. Just a lot of stuff. I'm just picking up whatever. We're going through the clothes pretty good just because it's easy to stay consistent with the clothes because there's so much of it. Mm-hmm. And you can still keep your kind of listing up. I can list 20 to 30 clothes. And then really what I've been doing is we've been listing 20 to 30 clothes and hats and then whatever extra that I happen to find there, whether it's some toys or whatever, to try to get as close to listing 40 or 50 items a day. It's really where I want to be.
And
just a lot of bags too. Finding a lot of bags.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Amanda's mom just sold an old Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear bag.
How much did it sell for?
I think $100, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, she got it for free from the neighbor, and it had to have only sold for in 2 days because she texted me a couple of days ago and was like, "Hey, what should be the shipping cost on this?" And so I told her what I always charge for mine, and 2 days later, she's like, "It's sold." So I was like, "Okay," I was like, "That's I mean, when you go outside of your norm or whatever, you're crazy surprised about all the different stuff.
And getting stuff from the bins or the flea market is just so much easier to swallow whatever the price you sell it for you got it for a dollar or a quarter or whatever. And really, I've been picking up at least one thing that covers the entire price of the whole basket. And so I mean, once you sell that one item, then everything else is pretty much free. It's really a lot easier to swallow than.
Oh yeah.
But it just takes the time. I mean, you just got to put the time in and get out there and do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but that's part of the enjoyment. You know what I mean? Like if you're enjoying going to the bins, you know what I mean, and like finding other stuff, and you know, just whatever it is you enjoy about that, yeah. Then it's like, I think it's worth it, because it's like, it's just another aspect that you're enjoying. It's another aspect that you're not waking up thinking, this fucking sucks. I have to go through an entire giant box of loose earbuds and try to pair them up. And like, this is super boring and annoying, and I hate doing this. You know what I mean? Like, right. If you can do a lot less of that and way more of like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go do this thing that like is fun for me, or at least I remotely enjoy, like, it just makes your entire, like, not even just reselling, just like your whole life is just like a more enjoyable experience, you know?
Yeah, like, for sure.
You know,
the good thing I will say about the earbuds is though, is the quantity listings. I have a lot of quantities on those items, and I have like 10 or 12 cases and sell one, and you still got 11 more to sell. So it's been really, really good too.
Yeah. Are you going to tell that guy, hey bro, don't send me freaking loose earbuds in a box. Yeah. Dude, this is so annoying.
Time out. Time out on that.
I think where I'm going to land is, I mean, I'll pay him whatever we end up coming to some agreement on that lot that he sent me. But I think going forward, it's just going to be, hey, if you want to send them to me, send them. But I'm not paying for that much work.
Yeah.
I there's other things I want to do with my time. Maybe there's somebody out there in the world that would love to do that. But I'm probably not the one on that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, yeah, screw that, dude. It'd be cool like the first time, and then I'd be like, I'm never doing this again.
You would make it through the first time.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't. I'd get about four earbuds in. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'd throw that shit right out the window. But like, yeah, dude, I'd have just put that big ass lot on eBay under bid, gave him half of whatever it sold for. Freaking, like, yeah, I can't be asked to do that, you know? It's the same shit with like cleaning hats like that though too. It's like, I'll just build them up so big where I have to do 60 before a show, and I'll try to knock them out like 2 days in advance. I'm just like, this sucks. I'm tired of doing this by the end of it, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't think I'm going to be in the next hat train. I don't think I'm going to make it.
No, no, you're definitely not, because yeah. He just put out he sent us a thing like a couple hours ago, and neither of you guys, you guys didn't even respond to him.
I talked to him on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You guys left me.
Thanks for calling me out though.
Yeah. You guys left me out in the desert.
Well, you know what? Look, he knows the three of us like to operate together, and he didn't ask the three of us again. So
you were in there.
Was Rob the one that ignored him?
No, both me. I'm almost positive that he he put us three in a group chat. I'm almost positive. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me see. Yeah, right here. Coach Porch Collab Closet Hat House on 10/15/25. He wrote this long thing that he has openings from 2:30 to 4 and 5:30 to 7. They're half hour sets, 11:29. I wrote back, said, I'll take 6:30, and that's it. and that was the extent of everything. Look at on Whatnot.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but
yeah.
So rude, Rob.
He sent that on 11:15?
Yeah.
10:15?
10:15. Yeah.
Okay, so where was I on the 15th?
Hey, listen, your travel... Your travel, hey, you get internet in Japan.
You don't get DMs in Japan?
Yeah, dude, no DMs in Japan. He was at the base of Mount Fuji, dude, playing some golf. Didn't get it.
Bro, I was at Disney World with my grandbabies. I wasn't answering any DM from Collab Closet.
Well, that's why you're not in it.
No disrespect, Collab. I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm not answering anything when, you know, I'm chasing little princesses around Disney.
Well, I was like, yeah, I mean, I got to do every one because it's the only time that I'm selling hats at this point. I used to do way more hats, and I'm just like, I'm not looking for them.
Your fiance sells all your hats now.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not looking for them like how I used to look for them. You know what I mean? I'm like I just, whenever I come across them, you know, when I'm not looking, I'll grab them. But
so I hear you're like changing up your entire strategy of your resale business. Is that true?
Yep.
What are you doing?
Well, we haven't listed on eBay since basically Rob went to Japan.
That was 3 weeks ago.
We maybe have thrown up like one or two things, maybe on a whim. But yeah, we haven't listed. And speaking of not listing, I literally just got another sale. So I'm like, do the sales slow down? For sure. Do you still get them? Also for sure. Like, we're still selling like three or four things every day, what it seems like. Like, there's freaking... But anyway, yeah, I'm just like, I have nothing against eBay at all. Like, I like eBay and I enjoy eBay. What I don't enjoy is I don't like having to go out and look shit up all the time. I like going out. Like, sourcing for me is, we were just talking about what we enjoy. I enjoy sourcing. I don't like to come home and, or, you know, go to the office and take pictures and, you know, inventory it and list it. And it's just all of that I find so annoying. So I'm like, I've been on Whatnot going on 2 years now. And I'm like, how do I do Whatnot in a way that nobody, not that nobody else is doing it, because everybody's doing something already, but really, I guess, kind of like specific, I guess more to my area, I guess you could say, that is like, what is under pressured in my area, and how can I capitalize on that? Because if I just want to do vintage t-shirts and hats, or just vintage clothing in general and hats, I mean, dude, I'm not lying. I'd have to be out 50 hours a week probably. And I'm talking just out. Like, that's not all, everything else. That's just out. If I wanted to run like two or three shows every week just in that, and I wouldn't even be able to have 100-piece shows. It'd be like, I'd have like 30 or 40 pieces maybe. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, what is there an overabundance of that is not being capitalized on? And I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I can go out and find 300-400 items in 1 or 2 days and then sell those for like crazy profit. And
he's gonna say what it is any minute.
Well, it's just, well, I mean, there's no secret. Everybody can just go to my shows, dude. Like, there's a whole bunch of freaking women clothing shows and jewelry shows and bras and underwear and grandma clothes, and you know what I mean? It's not like, it would just go to my account, you know, you'll see all the shows that are listed, and then join one of those shows, and there's 60, 80, 100 people in there, and like, you're selling, like, I paid $1 and I bought a ginormous box of old underwear and bras. I'm being dead serious. And I'm like, why not? You know what I mean? I mean, dude, there was every bit of 250 pieces in there. I know that because I sold 120 individually and there was still a shit ton in the box. And I'm like, why not try it? Like, I need two people in that show. Two. That's it. And as long as there's two people in there buying these for $1, which gets you 49 cents or whatever it is after fees, right? I'm like, I'm up huge. You know what I mean? When you multiply that by 250, you're up crazy. So I'm like, I'm going to start doing that. Like,
Steven, have you been in one of his shows yet?
I haven't. Since.
This was,
oh, you're missing out, dude.
If you remember this, let's
well, I did the first one.
Yeah. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of this, because I think this is cute. This was when Amanda flaked out and got nervous and rage quit like Steven, right?
It was after our last pod.
And you said, yeah, after the last pod, you said, I gotta go sell some shit. Amanda didn't sell today. Eat your cereal, get your Wheaties on. He said, I'm gonna
10:30 at night.
I was there. I was there for the whole show. So my man's in the show, and women are flocking in. Jesus Christ, his hand. Is that shirt really that small, or his hands that big? I know what's going on, bro, because you don't read the chat.
It was hard in that one, dude. There was a lot of people there. It was going quick.
You traditionally don't read the chat.
Yeah.
That chat was a smoke fest in there. Mm. I was like, holy crap. I'm just sitting back with my popcorn.
Yeah, I've never seen a chat move like that. Like, there was like, what, 80 some odd people in there? And it was like,
I texted a number to Steven. I don't remember how many.
Yeah. And it felt literally like all 80 were actually like typing in the chat actively. Like it was literally just like,
there
was no reading it. It was just going. I was like, oh my God, it was crazy.
Yeah. You had some pretty cool like Y2K vintage.
It was the Y2K stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all women's.
Yes. It's all women's. And this is what I've noticed is that. I mean, there's so many different things. You know what I mean? Like, can somebody just randomly jump on tomorrow in a women's category as a man and like have a whole bunch of people in there and sell a whole bunch of stuff? Maybe, maybe not. You know, I don't know. Right. But this is what I do know. I do know that your opportunity to source not just one singular category, right? Women's is a massive umbrella. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and inside that massive umbrella, even if you were to go to Y2K, right? Underneath the giant umbrella of all women's clothing, there's another giant umbrella of Y2K. And it's not just clothing. That's the thing, is that you can go out and find a bunch of clothing, but what about the Y2K purses and the Y2K shoes and the Y2K hats and the Y2K jewelry, right? And the Y2K glasses. And like, so underneath that umbrella, there's another 10 or 12 other categories in there. So now, instead of me going out and be like, dude, I need to find 50 90s t-shirts, right? That's really hard, especially a good 90s t-shirts, right? It's really hard. But you can go out and say, hey, I want to find women's Y2K. And then you're like, your brain is just overloaded because, oh, I'm not only going to look for shirts and jeans and jackets and, right? I'm going to look for all of that plus all of this other shit. And then you can put it in one show. And it's the same thing with like, if you wanted to do, there's a whole like grandma core thing where like these girls are wearing like straight up grandma sweaters from like the 80s with the collars and shit. You know what I mean? And like, and so it's like now in my mind, I'm like, why in the world? And do I still do it? Yeah, because it's fun. So like in the morning time, I'm going to go out to the flea and for that first hour or two, when all the fresh stuff is out and everybody's super competitive, I'm going to go be competitive and I'm going to go and like try to find the vintage hats and the cool vintage tees and the starter jackets. Right. But after that first wave is done and everybody's kind of just walking around like, damn, man, there's not really anything going on. What am I going to do? I'm going to go back around. And like today, dude, I found 140 things from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m. 140. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a record day if I was going to do it the old way. You know what I mean? And 140 things just cruising around, not hustling. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, you know, it's just a much better thing. And I'm like, how can I do whatnot more? And that's the way to do it. You know, the way to do it is just find what is the under pressured thing wherever you live. Does that thing sell, that category sell on whatnot? And then just say, screw it with what you've been doing and just go do that, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just a better way to do it. It's just like all about whatnot for me is super fun. It's what I like the most. And so it's what I want to do the most, you know? And the only way to do that is to be able to like go out and just do multiple different categories. You know?
Yeah, that's such important advice. I mean, you can't pigeonhole yourself into what you want to do either. And you're talking about what you want to do, but it can't be everything. I mean, it has to be what is available, and you have to be able to move and to swerve and to go over into things that you may not have been originally comfortable with. I don't really like I kind of did the same thing. I don't really like shipping big stuff that takes forever to ship, but I'm doing it now, mainly because that's the higher dollar stuff that people leave behind. And that's the profit that's left on the table at the bins, really. I mean, you go through and, I mean, they're not going to leave any Wii games. You're going to have to get really lucky. Whether it's a knee crutch we just sold for $50, or whether it's a salad mixer thing that we sold. And that's really what we've done, too, is just you just got to find the opportunity that's there. And the vintage shirt and clothes game is just really tough to source that much stuff and to have just a business around that. What you end up doing is you end up overpaying for stuff in the vintage game, I think, to try to be just in the vintage game. And so you end up in other whatnot shows trying to, and then you you pay $20 or $30 for an item that you're only going to get 40 or 50 for. And then after the fees are gone, you didn't make any money, really.
So yep.
I think you've hit on it, because you've got to be able to move and adjust, and you're going to find a little bit of that other stuff here and there, and maybe you'll build it up for a show.
That's basically like where my mind's at, is I'm like, all that other stuff I still like finding, and I'll still go look for, you know what I mean? But specific men's stuff that I'm used to has just replaced what golf was for me. You know what I mean? I would go out specifically looking for like vintage tees and stuff like that. And then just a bycatch of looking for that would be finding all of the golf polos and the golf hats, because they were there, you know? And so like now I'm like, I'm gonna be totally honest. I don't even enjoy selling golf stuff anymore. Like, it just, you know, like, it was fun. It was fun for a while. And then I'm just like, especially dude, like the shirts were just, I don't know. It's just after the last like couple or whatever. And I'm like, dude, I can't do this anymore. And so I'm like,
I'll go back to the golf, and it really, for most of us, there are some sellers that are able to do it year round, but golf really just hits. I would save it for spring through summer. And I know you don't want to build up that much stock, but you could just save that stuff until the spring and then kind of move back into the golf. And that's when it hits really hard again. And you could have like four or five golf shows, but just a thought.
Yeah. Hey, I'm basically just, Amanda's doing all of that. You know what I mean? Like Rob said it in the, Rob said it in the group chat. Like I'm literally just going to do 95% of women's stuff. And then on the flip side of that coin, she doesn't even really like doing golf shirts that much. She really likes doing golf hats. She's not even from that one show, but like even when I was selling golf hats a lot, she would be like calling me all the time. Like, hey, is this a good hat? Is this a good, you know what I mean? So she actually likes finding them too, which is nice. And so she's like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm like, that's great. You know what I mean? And I don't know if the psychology is different, because, you know, men are selling women's and women's are selling men's. And if that plays like as big of a role as I think it plays, you know what I mean? But like, at least for the time being, you know, I'm just like, if I come across some eBay items, cool. You know, like I've built up a decent little knowledge bank of like a bunch of different stuff that like I just know about and I can just pick up without having to sit there and do all the research about it. But you know, that'll all be bycatch, and I'm just like out just grinding every day just for this stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, you said a long time ago your desire was to be 90% whatnot.
So yeah.
You're just getting to where you wanted to be. That's
yeah.
I tease you and everything about the girl stuff and everything, but I mean, everybody knows that this all started with me and my wife selling purses. So
yeah,
I can't say much. I'm only selling women's purses and stuff.
100%. And to be honest, honestly,
those are some of my most favorite shows.
Dude, that's what I was just going to say. I was like, it's not just the number of people I think I've done four of them. I have done four like proper, like curated ones now, I believe. And not just because they're like, and everyone has had a lot of people, like definitely the most people, except for the 1 year of fire that I had. That was the most people that I ever had. But these ones are like, all four of them have been like large. And it's not just that. The girls are so interactive, dude. Like, yeah. The, you know what I mean? I could have 60 people, like 60 people in there doing a men's show. And like, you know, there'd be some chatter or whatever. But like, you know, you have 60 women in there and it's like, you know, they're chatting away. You know what I mean? And like, for me, as the guy on the other end of the camera, it's like, that's fun. You know, like I want to be able to be like talking to them and not just like talking just to talk and like having interaction. And like, you know what I mean? So I think it's been the most fun, like the most fun that I've had.
If you mod somebody up, they can slow the chat down for you to read it.
Yeah. I guess I had to show Amanda how to do that. She's been only like, there's like two mods in there or whatever. But yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's just been like, it's overall been great, but it's another thing too, where it's
like, fun to sell things.
That's, well, yeah, it's super fun to sell things, of course. And it's another thing too, where it's like, for me, because I do have a full-time job, you know, it's like, it's easier for me to be like, hey dude, I'm not going to do this thing anymore. That's making us thousands of dollars a month. And I'm just going to like transition a lot to this thing. Right. And so like, it'd be like a lot different for you if you were like, if you want to do the same thing, because like the risk of that is so much greater, right? Because it's like, dude, I'm like, I'm really leaving like the safety net of what supports me and my family, that puts my kids through college and puts food on our table, to go and try to do this other thing. So there's just so much more stress about it, you know? And so it's just like, for us, it's not as bad, because it's like, okay, well, you know, we take some lumps over the next 2 months or whatever it is, it, like, we're going to be okay. And we'll just keep trying to push it along. And then hopefully it'll get bigger and bigger, you know? So, yeah, it's just been like, I don't know. It's been a crazy 3 weeks. It seems like it's literally it's been 6 months. Cause it's like the whole, like our whole thing is just like taking a crazy 180. And, you know,
so the title of this episode should definitely be, Why Mikey Quit eBay.
Yeah, well, man, it's still like, well, it's funny because I told you, I was like, I still source some stuff from eBay just like as I'm kind of going through. I'm not even joking, I probably got 60 items right now in the office that I got specifically for eBay that are sitting exactly where I put them at whenever I got them, you know what I mean? Like, there's golf bags, golf clubs, like
fired up, finds his way to whatnot full time. And ladies, old ladies' underwear.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, that was the craziest thing in the world, is like selling. And it wasn't a big
granny
show.
Panties.
Exactly. It was, I mean, I don't think I had more than 15 people in there. That was the max. You know, there's probably 10 people in there the whole time. I sold 120 individual pieces. And then I sold another 10 pieces in another show. And I finally said, guys, I'm getting bored. You know, like, this is boring for me. Does anybody want the rest of this box? They were like, we absolutely do. $65. They bid it up too for the rest of the box. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, $400 later on a $1 thing. I was like, oh, dude, this is game over. You know, I was like, I can't not do this. Like, it's too good. So kind of crazy.
I guess you can now stop going into those crackhead houses and to the bedroom.
Oh no, I'm still doing
men that. And
you already know I'm still doing that. Like, you already know. I'll right. Never stop doing
when
that.
Come to my bedroom. I got a t-shirt for you.
How are you sourcing this? How are you sourcing this stuff? Are you just putting in the work and looking all that up? How are you getting this knowledge on women so quickly?
Well, I have a secret weapon.
He goes, I don't know what this is.
I don't, but I mean, I have a secret weapon in a 28-year-old woman that.
Quite so honestly, she's sourcing a lot of it.
No, but like, no. So, I mean, at first for sure. So that very first show was all stuff from her Depop that she was like, just took down and was like going to do a show with it, you know? And then, so that everything that in that first show was all of hers. And then maybe 50% of the next show was like the rest of the stuff from her Depop, because like it went so well. And then the last two shows that we've done, she's probably sourced 10% or less of the entire show. And I'll just be like, if there's something that I really am unsure about, I'll just FaceTime her and be like, hey, is this good? And she'll be like, no. And like, once you get like, I'm also, I don't do stuff just like a little bit, you know? It's like, if I do something, I'm probably not going to do it at all, or I'm going to like do it a shit ton. So like, what have I been doing? I've been watching a shit ton of Whatnot streams. You know what I mean? A ton. Like 25, 30 hours in the last 2 weeks, probably, of just women's stuff. Because like, that's how, like, then that's how I learned, you know what I mean? And like, and I still don't know everything by any means. Like, I still pick up stuff and they're like, yeah, it's just trash. And I'm like, damn it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's just like, it's just like anything, you know, like, how'd you learn how all the good hats work? Because you put a shit ton of time in, you know, it's like, that's just how it is. So yeah, you just gotta put a lot of time in.
Yeah. So you're doing a lot of the sourcing. That's what I was kind of wondering.
I'm doing like, well now, yeah, now I've done virtually all of it. Like everything I got today, like it was just me. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just all Juicy Couture and damn, you know, Hello Kitty fucking purses and stuff. Like, you know, cause like, you got to think like, this is like how I've started to think, is that I was talking to my buddy and it's like the key to everything. Well, to the key to Whatnot, I believe, is how do you sell unsellable shit? Like, I mean unsellable shit by all the stuff that people leave, like that people have already gone through, say a giant pile, and all the stuff that they didn't take. How do you sell that? Right. And if you're able to figure out how you sell all the shit that nobody else wants to take and sell, boom, there's your key. Like, that's what that was the experiment with the whole bras and underwear, was like, this is an unsellable item. Like, you can put this out and have a ton of resellers come buy this, and I will guarantee you 0% are going to pick those up. Zero. Right. And then, okay, well, all right, well, then let's try it out.
I know a guy. Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you, you are the second guy I know and interact with on a daily, weekly basis that has made the conversion from t-shirts through men's / golf and is now thriving in ladies. And yep. I mean, from top of mid-30s in a show, to now where I think his show last night ended with 188 bookmarks. And when I was in it, there were 92 people.
You know what I think that category might be for me is if I could figure out how to sell crafts, scrapbooking, and whether it's just like holiday, Christmas stuff.
Dude, that's a huge channel.
You can.
I know.
That's a giant channel. On
and there's a, and there's a shitload of it at the bins. We ran into a bunch.
Yeah, that's of that. This is the best part about that, Steven, yeah. Is that you're at the bins. So your total buy-in cost, just a random number, $100, right? Just say $100. Okay, you go home, you throw a show up for tomorrow night. It sucks ass, right? Nobody's there. Whatever. All the shit you got's garbage. You're at $100, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to make or break you. Like, you're still going to have dinner. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I look at it.
Well, we put like lots of this scrapbooking stuff up. We got like 100 pieces of this scrapbooking. We put it on eBay for around 70 or $80. See if it sells for $1 a piece. But like, Whatnot would be better if for that type of stuff. And to, I know that there is a market out there for it.
For sure.
I'm trying to think of things at the bins right now that might be kind of under, that is always left there.
It's always left there.
Yeah. Right now, at this very moment on Whatnot, there are 18 live scrapbooking shows.
No shit. Are they selling their stuff for $1 a piece?
Rob, what's the highest amount of viewers in one show? Are you able to see that?
Hang on. We got 17, 11, 12. Here you go. Bead Necessities has 63. They're doing heat transfers right now.
Yeah. 20 is enough as long as people are bidding.
10, 16, 22 yeah. for the envelope lady. 8 right now here. 9, 3.
So 16, nobody has just like one viewer.
20. I got Caution Comics has 2.
Yeah. So a vast majority. And the good news is, and so like this was my mindset as well. Was
Craftology has scrapbook and paper and more with 18 people in it right now.
Dude, see that, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so this was my mindset about that. So I have 5,400 followers, right?
I don't know when this person started this show. They have 71 sales right now.
Yeah. Dude, killing it. So I was thinking, I'm like, you could do, say, a scrapbook, right? And you already have at least a built-in, I'm going to click on this show just to see what the hell this guy's doing, right? Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. You already have that built-in. You don't have that buyer built-in, not necessarily, right? But you have those, like, 10 people out of the thousands that follow you that are going to be like, Hat House is scrapbooking. What does this even mean? And what does that do? That says people that are going to the scrapbooking category that Hat House has 10 people in here. So like, I'm going to join too, because it's a little bit awkward to join a show with one or two people. Right. And then like, they're trying to talk to you and you're kind of like, I kind of got to get out of here. Right. And so I'm like, you already have that little bit of viewers built in just to see what you're doing. And like, that will attract more. And then those people are probably going to be buyers. You know what I mean? And it's just like a totally, yeah. I'm like, after I thought about it, I was just like, oh, this makes all the sense in the world. And when your buying cost can be insanely low because it's basically everybody's leftovers, then you can do experiments on scrapbooking and on all of these different little things that, like, when you go out and source wherever the people are that are listening and you think, damn, you know, what the hell's always left over? And it's this thing. You're like, dude, well, let me just buy a shit ton of it. See what happens. There's always a bunch of books and
I would always have the golf guys popping in whenever I'd be doing a purse show. And it clearly said, you know, I was clearly listed outside of golf in a luxury category. And, you know, it like you're saying, they would come in, chat it up, you know, we'd have cut it up a little bit. It fills some air time. Some of the guys actually hung around and bought stuff for their wives. I had one guy was coming up. We were doing a pre-Valentine's show, literally bought like 4 purses for his wife. I don't know what kind of trouble he was in, but he was trying to get out of it.
But like, that's the perfect example of you have at least whatever kind of following you have right now for whatever category people are accustomed to, a percentage of those will come to a new show. And then of that percentage, there's a potential percentage of that will buy something from you in whatever category you're in. And so it's like, you know, dude, I will run anything under the world, like under the sun. I don't care. You know, I'm like, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed or, you know, like, I just, dude, if I think that it could sell, then sweet. Then like, I'll do it and I'll be enthusiastic about it. And we'll have as much fun as we possibly can. And, yeah. And so I'm like, I think it's just a good way to look at it. If people want to do whatnot in a more consistent way that don't have, you know, their ways of sourcing already done as far as, you know, trying to be consistent about it. Like, you know, whether you're doing pallets or all this other stuff, if you're going out and hand picking items for whatnot, that's a hard game, dude. You know what I mean? That's a hard game to go out and pick. Handpick items every day for whatnot shows.
I've always said if you're doing, when you're doing something, when we're doing it that way, it's a full-time job.
Absolutely.
It's literally a second full-time job.
Yeah. Because this was another thing too. I don't want to, like, I guess take up all this time, but that I went on to whatnot and you guys, I'm sure, know what the top 2 categories are on whatnot by viewer, right?
Baseball cards.
Baseball cards is number 1. Well, just sports cards in general is number 1. Absolutely. Sports
cards.
Number two.
That's the luxury items, isn't it?
Women's fashion.
Yeah.
Women's fashion is number two. So within, then you think about it and you go, okay, well, who buys the most shit? Women, obviously. That's why every thrift store you go into, three quarters of the store is women's stuff. And then the guys get a tenth of the store, and then furniture and the rest of the shit gets the rest, right? And so it's like, okay, well, why are you not going to where all the buyers are, right? That makes the most sense to me. And instead, if you go down to men's clothing, they're 11th or 12th. They're not even in the top 10.
Oh, that's it. All this shit's out of here.
But right though, like they're not even in the top 10. And so it's like, okay, so I'm going to go from an average of 12,000 concurrent viewers at any time of the day, right?
That's a big word.
Yeah, 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 that one almost got me. 12,000 though, 12,000 viewers any time of the day, right? Go down to men's, there's 500 to 700.
Shit, you know my golf category turns off at some point at night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, if I knew the first thing about sports cards, I would do it too. You know what I mean? Just, I know the barrier to entry with sports cards is way higher than it is with some other stuff. You know?
I wonder if y'all saw the news about like the FBI and the NBA,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I think the mob is in on that sports cards thing.
They said it. Oh, sports cards. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they're involved in sports cards.
Yeah, I think so. There's money laundering, and the mob is in the sports cards game somewhere. I think it's fixed. I think it's rigged. I think the whole thing. I think they X-ray every single box. I think they know exactly what they're giving.
I heard that you could do that, though. There was some like technology that they had to like,
right,
be able. You can't. It's not like they don't see the actual card or whatever, but it's like somehow, like, you know, rare ones will be a different density or some shit.
Right.
Yeah. You want me to tell you how they do it?
What is it?
It's just the normal guys that do it too. They will take a portable scale into, say, Target. Okay.
Oh.
They'll weigh the box. The one that's heavier has the bigger cards in it.
Yeah, see, dude, come on.
Because your relic cards and everything are heavier than normal cards, so they change the weight of the box.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, it makes sense. That's all. You'll
see, if you ever see somebody like in a Target or a Walmart and they're standing there going, that's what they're doing. They're waiting for that number.
I'm calling the cops.
Yeah,
I'm calling FBI. The cops saying, yeah, he's selling drugs. He's in the mob.
He's in the mob.
My buddy Niner, he's on Whatnot doing cards.
Yeah.
And that dude makes bank, man. He's got wings.
He make crazy.
From just doing a show a night. Literally, he's on for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and he's got wings from selling cards. He's literally just,
and that's 50K he's not, in he's 90 not packing days.
Yeah, he's not, yeah, every 90 days. And he's not packing like we are, where we're building boxes and shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's sleeving shit up, putting it in an envelope, and off it goes.
Yeah.
And then does
it. Yeah, the 50K in 90 days thing is.
I've seen so many people struggle with card shows too, though. I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen.
Yeah, like, you got to have a good show. You have to have a good show. You can't be just like, this is this card. Here's this one. Here's the next one.
Yeah,
you gotta have a little flair to you, but
I don't know sports, like I don't know, I know NFL football some, obviously, and I don't watch baseball and stuff though. I know the World Series is on. I ain't watched one pitch of the World Series.
Yeah, Blue Jays won the first game. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I didn't even know who was in the World
Series. That's an understatement.
A couple days
pounded them in the sixth inning yesterday. Oof.
Yeah, so. I just,
but you know, ladies' underwear.
Yeah,
you sure do. Old ladies, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's just, oh, and like, dude, my next thing is, I'm about to go and grab like every modern like band graphic reprint that they sold at like Hot Topic or whatever from like 2022. Because there's only 17 million of them anywhere you go that nobody ever buys. And you're going to get them all for 50 cents or a dollar. and I'm going to sell them on Whatnot for like $3 and $4. And I'm going to multiply that by like two or, you know, friggin' 200 and 300. And then it's going to be a crazy profit. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just dumb stuff like that. And,
yeah,
you know, just trying to capitalize on what all the stuff that's left over. Because like, Steven, if you went to my flea market and you walked around in the morning and then you walked around on Sunday night and just saw the amount of stuff that's just still there after literally 1,000 probably people have been through it, you'd be like, oh, well, like, of course there's all of that. It's just so much money just sitting there just because like it's not what people are accustomed to, you know?
Yeah,
because gotta take that back.
Yeah, everybody wants the vintage grail, vintage. Yeah.
Everybody does, but it's just the same thing as anything where it's like, what's going to sell more, the $25 shirt or the $500 shirt, you know? Like, most people are buying $25 shirts, yeah. You know? There's not a lot of people out there just dropping $500, you know? And you just trickle that down to... not trying to, you know, you're not going to have a show loaded with like crazy stuff that took you all year to find and just be okay with selling everything for $3 to $8 because you know you got it for 50 cents, you know? So, what did I say?
He thinks he's turning Japanese. He thinks he's turning Japanese. I really think so. I forgot to show this to you guys. Godzilla. This is the, this could be the buyer's givey.
It's a Godzilla
head cover.
That is good. I like that a lot. Why does he look? He does look a little.
Looks like a man, like an old man.
Wait, Godzilla. Let me see his face one more time.
He is old.
Yeah, he looks like he got
almost like a shark face.
It looks like it nicked him. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got for the buyer's giveaway.
As one of those Tokyo Canal Street Godzillas.
Yeah.
He got nicked with it. Oh, that's really so good.
All right. Well, you still going to have some bolos?
Yeah, whatever's freaking selling on eBay, I'll show you guys. But I mean, I just gave everybody like 30 minutes of like the freest game they're ever going to get. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I guess you're going to go first, Rob.
Yeah, they're loaded up. You can put them up. I don't remember what they are. Ah, J. Crew. All right, so everybody knows the name J. Crew. J. Crew makes a diamond quilted padded puffer. Okay.
I didn't even play the music. Well, stop. Oh, shit. We can't get that far off our game here.
All right, here we go. Oh, wait.
Oh, my goodness.
Party foul.
What happened?
I don't know. All right, it's bolo time. Raiders bolos can't beat. We got some good.
Hey, crew. Are you guys playing the music?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nobody's playing the music. J. Crew makes these diamond quilted jackets. As you can see here, they vary from $75 to $90. The quilted padded puffer one is the very desirable one from what I find. And make sure you pick them up because that's a pre-owned number right there. So if you can find one new, it's a lot more, obviously. But
that's a good one. Most J. Crew is not $80.
No. That's why I was like, whoa, hello. What's this bad boy? Yeah, they have a great sell-through rate as well. And then we got this. Zero Foxtrot gear. Okay. I don't know if anybody's seen this or ever heard of it, but there's some great resellability on this name. Obviously, they have multiple different types of tactical stuff. The Bomber Retro jacket's pretty neat. You know, you got your TAC jacket, your TAC, is that a Zero Foxtrot? 2.0 there, some different stuff, but the name Zero Foxtrot is what you want to look for.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you want me to go first or you?
Oh, here.
Heard it. You ready?
Yeah. Here. This is the first one. It got a structural firefighting helmet.
Yeah. You were telling us about that.
Yeah. I finally, I still have one more. This one's the Honeywell BFL, brand new 2022. It's still in date. I think they're good for like 7 years or something like that. And yeah, I got two of these for $10 a pop, and I had it listed for 300, I think. And somebody sent me 150, and I was like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, I don't even really care that much. And so that's a good one. I mean, it sold relatively quick. I mean, it sold within 90 days. I got it at that when I went on that long yard sale. And then the bottom one is, if you find Gators Tim Tebow, like, it's the easiest, quickest $50 of all time. Like,
really?
Tim Tebow in general, I never tried his Broncos jersey. I don't think I've ever found one of his Broncos jerseys. But obviously, being in Florida, in Northeast Florida, we find quite a bit
Gators.
Gators. And Tim Tebow Gators is like, I mean, the sell-through rate on it is crazy too. It's over 100%, super good. And it's $50 in like a couple days. So if you happen to find Gators Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow anything, because I've sold Tim Tebow books, like the book that he wrote. I found one at a thrift store one time that that he had signed. I found it twice now. I found it twice. And both times it sold super fast. I don't remember exactly for how much it sold for. But yeah, I will give you guys this one too. This one's sick. Amanda actually found this one. Obviously, the listed price is insane. But this is a 90s No Limit Records, like little quarter zip polo thing. And the graphic on it is sick. I don't know if I have a, yeah, like the graphic on it is freaking sick.
Oh, yeah, I remember that logo.
Yeah. So, this is what the tag looks like on it. It's on a Knievel tag. But anyway, we had it listed for that amount, because I don't think there was another one online that was like it. So we're like, oh, we'll throw it up. Well, a guy sends us an $80 offer, and it's been up for a while. Like, it was no fast sale. It's been up for like a long time. And so he sends us a message or an offer. And he attaches a message to it. And it says, this shirt is so fly, ... I'm shooting my shot with what I got. And I was like, dude, I was like, we got to accept it. I was like, I like this message. So, and then this one's not a bolo, but it kind of is, I guess, but it didn't sell for anything. With this Abercrombie and Fitch, like, little like wool Henley top, it only sold for $15, right? This thing had almost 300 views. It was in 8 carts and had 27 watchers on it, right? And unbelievable. And I had it listed for $22. Okay. And I don't know why it had that much, whatever. Well, a guy messages me, and I got the amount of $9 offers that I got on that like sweater was mind-boggling. Like, I declined, I swear my life, it was 20 plus. It was an unbelievable amount. Well, a guy messages me, same thing, sends me an offer. He sends me an offer for $12. I say no. I say, I'll give it to you for 17. $12, 17. He finally comes back 15, and he attaches a message, and it says, hey, I have a $25 gift card to eBay. If I get it at 15 plus the shipping and tax, it only puts me over by like 20 cents or whatever. And I was like, dude, this guy's a gift card. I was like, okay. I was like, we got to accept it. You know, I was like, it was just a sweet message. So yeah. If you want to lowball me, just send me a sweet message and I'll probably accept it.
Just a bleeding heart.
Yeah.
This is my last $10.
Yeah. So those are my couple right there.
All right. Let's look at the first one that I cross-listed from eBay over to Poshmark. This one did take a minute to sell.
What did you use to cross-list?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's Sidekick.
The Poshmark. Sidekick, you say?
No, Poshmark Sidekick. Works awesome. Link down below.
Yeah, use code Fired Up Finds and Coach Porch for 15% off.
Yeah, it's code Hat House. There you go. Check out the. I finally sold my. I found this at the Benz. This is a Benz find right here. So what I paid $2 or $3 for this Carhartt jacket, sold it for $125. Completely destroyed.
Yep. Well, that was an XL.
Yeah. So good one right there. Everybody knows this one probably, but some people may not know that just because it's tore up, because I wasn't the first one to touch this jacket. It was like three bins over for me after they, and some people had been through it and didn't pick it up. They didn't know it was a $125 jacket.
So. I would say, Steven, don't go off this one. I would say, maybe even more often than not, the distressing that's on the sleeves right there down towards the cuffs, for anybody that's not watching, it's like a light tan Carhartt jacket, obviously an old one from like the 90s or whatever, and it has like fraying and distressing right at the sleeve cuffs. That's like the best distressing, like the right. best. If you're gonna have distressing on a Carhartt, having it right there at the cuffs is like, it's sought after. People like that. So if you find a Carhartt just period, it could have a shotgun bullet hole right through the chest, I'd still pick it up.
Yeah. And this one was listed for probably about 6 months, and I started it at 300 on eBay and made my way down around 2 and then took the 125 off of it.
So, how long ago did that sell?
Last week. Finally got kind of cold again.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, what else we got here? Let's look. This is my, found this at the Benz for like $3. Salad Master. This is a vintage Salad Master. It's like, it was like brand new. Some lady actually like put it down, and Mary had already looked it up because she tried to get it. And she was like, damn it, I wanted that. And she was like watching this lady the whole time, and she finally put it back down, and she realized it was $60 plus 30. What does it say? 30 something shipping.
Damn.
35.
Yeah, Salad Master is the Bolo, right?
Yeah, Salad Master.
They have a lot of stuff you can resell for great profit.
Yeah, this one was in perfect condition. I don't think it's ever been used. So really good one there. I think we ended up shipping it for like $15 though. So it did really well on that one.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And what else we got here? Oh, check this one out. New with big tags. Pony. Yeah, Big Pony. This one was older too. Yeah, the vintage 2XL Big Pony. This is probably Y2K. It was the older one. You can see the older tag up there. So vintage Polo was a good one. Check this out. Waiting for them to pay. Hopefully they pay today. This is one of those things you find at the bins and you're like, man, that's old. But they're, I don't know. Would anybody actually ever buy that? Yes. This one sold in less than 7 days. Vintage Sears Country Coat. That's what it says on there. It's corduroy. Definitely you can tell it's like 70s style. So that was a really great pickup right there.
I tell you what, a yellow turtleneck and some brown checkered pants with that thing.
Yeah. That might it might be a Halloween costume. Somebody's, putting together, which would be a really good one.
Yeah, until you get a return on
after Halloween,
November 1st. Yeah. November 1st doesn't fit.
Yeah, it didn't fit. What else we got on here? Oh, next week, I'm gonna hold over till next week to tell you where I got this one, because I actually got like 5 of them. So this is just the first sale of hopefully 4 more. So a little bit of anticipation on this source. I'll go in a little bit more detail on the source next week on the next week's pod. So make sure you check out next week's episode. But this is pre-Sonos studio monitor, basically like computer monitor speakers, sold for $75 new in the box. And I got 5 of them new in box. I paid about $20 a piece for them. And then hopefully going to flip them between Another tip on eBay too, if you list a multi-quantity listing and you get kind of a lower offer before you sell one, like the first offer, I usually go ahead and take it if it's slightly reasonable, because then you can get on your listing that you've actually sold one, which gives you a little bit more credibility. They don't know what it sold for, because it doesn't show right. the sales price until it actually ends. So I kind of take a lower, the first one I'll usually take lower, and then I'll try to keep it the sales price a little bit higher going forward, because these sell for around $100. So I took the $75 offer on the first one with $10 shipping. So, but tune in next week to see where I got these from. Some people might be really interested in this source. We can check that out next week.
Oh yeah. Ooh, I'm coming for your plug.
I'm coming for the plug. Everybody knows this one too, but I just wanted to point this Peter Millar. It was 3XL. This one sold in 48 hours. It was new with tags. So $60 to $90 right in there. If it had been a better pattern, I probably would have waited for $80 or $90. But the new with tag stuff, don't be afraid
good of size too.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask close to $80 to $100 for new with tags, Peter Millar stuff. I just took the $60 on this one.
Was that a Ben's find?
It was the racks. Found it at the racks. Do I have another one, or was that it? I think that's it. What was it? Oh, that's for next week. I'm going to show you the other things I found next week.
Hey, Steven's got stuff in the chamber for next week.
Yeah, I've already loaded it for next week's episode. We're going to get to another source where you can kind of find some new stuff, and maybe they have one in your area. You should definitely check it out.
Oh, if I don't get the pre-intel, they'll be pissed. But hey guys, my next Whatnot show, I'll be selling toilet paper.
They have that too. I try to get some.
Hey Rob, why did I just get a text from Little B that says, dude, Coach stays taxing on his listings?
What are you trying to sell
Hey, what are you trying to sell on some tax, dude? What's going on?
Tax on one listing.
I don't even know. He didn't say what it was or where it was, but he said you're taxing. He said it's that. He said that's taxation without representation.
Called you remedial.
Yeah, he did call me remedial. That's just, I can't even believe it. He's so disrespectful. Unbelievable. Ouch. Yeah, I know. He's a freaking stage pop hater.
Rob does try to squeeze every last bit of blood out of that turnip.
I know.
You got to. What else am I doing it for?
That's what I'm saying. Hey, that's another thing too. Rob, if you were to move to Japan.
They have eBay in Japan.
Yeah, but what about Whatnot, though? Yeah, but what about Whatnot, though? Because you don't really do that, like the most eBay in the world. You do much more Whatnot.
I guess so, it like, would change, wouldn't it?
What? You would stop doing Whatnot?
I don't know. I don't know how I would do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they have Whatnot in Japan.
Yeah, I've never seen one.
Really? The last time you were in Japan, you didn't see Whatnot?
No, I didn't. I
was watching Whatnot in Japan.
Were you able to buy? Well, because your account's still connected to your address in Maryland. But... yeah, I don't know. That'd be weird.
You changed the account. Not Coach. My bad.
Not Coach. My bad. Changing the name to Uncle Sam is so funny.
RG, I thought he was accusing me of taxing something now.
Yeah, he is.
That's what it is.
He said he meant to put a Hat House, not Coach. My bad.
You're talking about my bolos? I was taxing my bolos? That's how they become bolos.
Yeah, exactly. This guy, honestly, this guy, I wish we could call him. He had some freaking insane ones this last week. some like really good pennants and stuff like that.
Pennants?
Yeah, pennants. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had a couple. Like, he had one that sold in like, he listed it and it sold in like an hour. I think for like $100 I think it was I think it was like a 1970s or something like that, Alabama, Crimson Tide one.
On eBay,
it sold, yeah, on eBay, super quick. Yeah, I mean, he bought a stack. I mean, I don't know how many he got. It had to have been 40, 50, 60 of them. I don't know. It was a big old stack. And he already well, 125.
125.
Yeah. He already
don't let him undercut you.
It was a Bulldogs one.
I never go through the pennants when I see them.
I mean,
$100 ones.
It is just like everything else. You know what I mean? Like, there's, I think those are in every category. Most pennants are going to be dog shit. And then you're going to find a couple that are. I mean, he sold a bunch, though. Not all of them were 125, but he sold a bunch for 50, 60, 70 bucks.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, and, like, he had a good point. And, like, I think this is a good point, just out to say anyway, that because I told him, I was like, well, damn, I was like, dude, you better get those listed quick. You know what I mean? Because like, it's college football season, right? So on and so forth. And he had a good point. He was like, dude, he's like, the person that's spending $125 on a Georgia Bulldogs pennant is not some college kids, you know, at UVA, you know, he's like, dude, it's a sophisticated older guy that needs it for his man room. He doesn't give a shit if the Bulldogs are 0-10 or 10-0, or if it's college football season or not. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, this is not a memorabilia that, like, you know, is going up in a dorm room or a frat house, you know? Right. And I was like, I think that's a good point. Cause I didn't think about it like that until you said it, you know?
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Kind of like my Etsy customers. They're good. They'll drop money just because they have it.
Yeah, just exactly.
For no reason.
Yeah. Have you still been killing it on hats, on Etsy?
Not as good because I haven't had as many vintage hats because we haven't been sourcing as much as that type
of stuff. Yeah.
Well, then my question, other than that, is does that Sidekick you go to Etsy as well?
Yes, you can cross list to
Etsy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes it pretty easy. Yeah.
Wait, I think I just heard somebody get a sale.
The link is below. The link is below. Check out Steven? The YouTube.
I got offers.
I thought I just heard the cha-ching.
I sold a Lululemon long sleeve crew. What else did I sell? A Hurley hat for $14 offer.
Dang.
$10 on my offer on that. Probably won't take it. Oklahoma Sooners. Sold a replacement earbud for
$23.99. Yeah.
Sold this replacement earbud for $19.19.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's all in the hour and 26 minutes that we've been live on the pod. Oh, all of us have made zero money, and Steven has made $500.
Yeah. And Roblox. I found some Roblox at the bin. Somebody made a bid on them. So
nice.
There you go.
Nice. He killed it.
$29.95 was the minimum bid on that. So still got 2 days. Yeah, I haven't.
Legit.
Yeah, I haven't been doing. I've never really done auctions on eBay until I. So last week started picking up this miscellaneous. Got some Beyblades too, so I put them on a lot of Beyblades on auction.
Do you find that it drives traffic to your store if you have we can't see your brightness is.
Well, I didn't really want you to see it all.
he was trying to show us pictures of his. Can't have your wiener on YouTube. Have you found that having auctions going in your store has like led to more traffic to your other items or not really?
I haven't seen that.
Okay. It'll be said, Uncle Sam making money while he sleeps.
I try.
Oh yeah. That is one of the things that I heard though, is that having an auction going was good for your,
I've heard that too. But
I mean, at the end of the day, frankly, what's not good or shitty for your algorithm? It's like, I think people say everything that you do under the sun is either shitty or good for your algorithm. You know what I mean?
I can tell you what's been bad is the whole internet problem for the past week. eBay's been down multiple days. Couldn't even ship one day.
Really?
And then eBay it was down earlier today. Couldn't even log on to it to do a return or whatever. So it's I don't know if they have some of their servers or with AWS too, but their whole service.
Everybody has their servers with AWS.
Yeah.
Dude, that was the craziest thing in the world. Yeah. Like to even know that that many platforms run on AWS was insane. 35%
of the world.
Yeah. We're all in danger.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not good. Was it the Russians trying to hack or was it like an internal issue? Or did they ever say?
It was a DNS, a bad DNS in placed in one of the warehouse in Virginia.
What's a DNS?
It's a denial of service. It's where like they send a bunch of traffic in, and it's so it clogs up the whole thing.
Oh,
so
like a DDoS?
I don't think so. I don't know.
It was part of the code. Call that DDoSing.
DDoSing, part maybe. Of the code. Is that the slang for DNS?
Well, that's like when you send a whole bunch of packets to like a certain server and it clogs it up. So then it eventually just shuts it down because it's like it's overloaded.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it sounds pretty similar to me.
So, but yeah, it comes from an outside source.
Yeah, probably right? Venezuela right now. I mean, can't stop blowing up their stuff.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah, dude. Yeah, these people are just trying pissed. To drink. Yeah, they're trying to drink a pina colada on a speedboat. And next thing you know,
boats got through and went to Virginia.
Yeah.
Flipped the switch.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Maduro is like, you gonna take out my boats? Well, then, you ain't ordering nothing from Amazon.
No more. No war.
No war. Dude. No Amazon.
I turn your Amazon off.
Dude, they're just out there just hanging out. Just hanging out, just trying to catch them a freaking tuna, dude. And just all of a sudden, boom, they're done. Yeah. That's crazy. Venezuela.
Aircraft carrier sitting off the coast, is that right?
I think it's drones, isn't it?
No, they sent a whole strike carrier group.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting real.
The baddest one we have.
Yeah, Venezuela, it's large threat.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just thinking about mojitos and a speedboat, and all of a sudden you're pulverized. Like what the fuck, dude? Oh. I'm crying. That's out of control. It's so funny. It's not funny, but it's funny.
All right, guys. We made it an hour and a half. Welcome back. We'll definitely be back next week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're always live on Wednesdays, unless it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, when we talk everything eBay to whatnot. We'll see you guys again. Appreciate you, podcast people. Good night. Yep.
Peace. See you from Brazil.